First off, happy Labor Day to you all. I do want to thank and just acknowledge the personnel staff. I think we've done a nice job. We've done the same process we've done over the last 3 years, tried to be detailed, meticulous, take the same approach that we did when we first got here in 13 as we are today. And you know what? I think it's paid out. It's very efficient. And with that, I'll take your questions.
You feel like this is a better roster than the one you entered the season with the last 2 years?
I do. I think this is a better football team.
Why?
Because we've all along talked about setting the competitive depth at each position. I think we've done that. I think we got to the point where we actually, you know, we had to release guys that are capable of playing in the National Football League. And I think that's what you kind of strive for. I mean, those decisions are very hard. But I do, all along we've said we're going to be competitive in the AFC West, and we're going to be competitive this year.
So you kind of look at that as a, I don't know what the term is, milestone, that some of the guys you cut plus the guy you were able to trade?
No, I don't think you use it as a milestone. I just, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get as many good football players as you can on your team. And that was just illustrated this weekend in the waiver cuts.
How difficult was it for you guys to move on from Mike Catapano?
Well, I think, any time that you have to release a good player, it's hard. But we're setting, that level, that competition we had. The beauty of it was Nicholas Williams, I think, did a fantastic job. I think he demonstrated he can play multiple positions. He can play the three, he can play the five, and he can help you along the way. And so at the end of the day, we decided to go with Nicholas Williams, and I think, it's a good choice. Go ahead.
Can we say that the decision to keep Poe on the 53-man instead of moving him to one of the other lists is an indication you guys do expect him back early in the season at some point?
Well, I think all along what we've got here is we've been monitoring this from the training room perspective, and the advice we're getting from the trainers is a great indication right now. So that's kind of where we are.
So we can take that as a yes to his question?
As what?
Poe's going to be back sooner rather than later?
Well, I think right now it's going along it's exactly where we thought it would be at this stage. And so, as the days go on, we'll just see how it is.
Any chance he can play in Houston?
You never know.
Well, just to be clear, though, for a big guy like that, you got back surgery. How careful do you guys have to be to make sure that, when you bring him along kind of the right way?
Well, it's first about the kid himself. I mean, you want to do what's best for the kid. Okay, as we move forward here, and I think with this training staff, they've demonstrated the ability to get these things right online, and I think they've done a nice job with that.
Is the 53-man roster set and ready for the Wednesday first practice, or would you say there are more moves coming?
Well, I'd say it's very fluid right now.
What is Ja Reed giving you?
Ja Reed gives us size, the versatility to play left and right tackle, as well as play a little bit of guard. He gives he has a really good punch and he finishes blocks. So there's a lot of combinations here that when you're looking for swing tackle, a guy that can contribute, he had all the attributes that you were looking for.
2 years ago, his game action was playing guard for Baltimore, and they kind of switched him to tackle the last couple years.
Versatility. I mean, he can play all four spots. I don't think he can play center, but he can play both tackles, both guards. And that degree of versatility, that has value on it.
You had to make a roster move, obviously, to accommodate Reed. Which player did you let go?
Well, right now, we don't have to make a move until like 3 o'clock today. Mm-hmm. So it's still a fluid situation. Actually, I get done here. We're going to go upstairs and have some more conversations.
Toughest cutdowns in your 3 years?
They're all tough. I mean,
guys like Eric Cush, you drafted and had to.
Yeah, but they're all, because every year, these guys, they give everything they got to make that team. And then you have to do the job of saying to the guys, thank you, but you didn't make the team. I thank you for your effort. That's hard because it becomes personal then. But, it has to be set, and they understand that.
You said a couple of years ago in the pregame, it's not about getting tied to emotionally. It's a business. Even guys that you draft, if you got to this point now that even the guys that you draft, it's easier to part ways with them, just making football decisions.
No, what you have to do is you have to make the best decisions for the organization moving forward today and for tomorrow as well.
What do you see in Brian Walker?
Brian Parker?
Yeah. Brian Parker.
Okay, Brian Parker. Brian Parker is, we've all along liked him. Ever since, the college draft came along, we've really liked him. We've monitored him all during the preseason. He's shown exactly what we thought he would be. He's a really good run blocker. He's got speed to go down the field. He's got the hands to catch, but he can contribute on special teams. And that's kind of, you know, and I see a good ceiling for him as well.
You tried to sign him after the draft, right?
We did.
What kind of role do special teams play in the decision to keep guys like Daniel Sorensen, Josh Martin, other, you know, Frankie Hammond, you know, special team-centric guys, instead of guys like Desmond Moses who shows stuff on, you know, you get what I'm saying. What kind of role do special teams play in that last 53 minutes?
Well, last time I looked, special teams was one-third of a game. So I think the value there is substantial of how you play the game. All along, as we tell these guys, you know, you have to contribute on special teams. Show us what you can do on special teams. And, you know, the guys on this roster now showed that they can play special teams as well as play their positions.
Is Demetrius Harris ready to play when the season starts?
Well, the season's about to start this Sunday, and he's progressing along very nicely.
Can I take that as a yes?
You're very matter-of-factual this morning. You know what? I think, you know, when we get to that point, and it'll be a couple days, you'll see. But the answer to your question is maybe yes.
Parker was a basketball player too, right?
No.
No, he wasn't.
No, he was not. He may have played in high school.
Okay. John, is the special teams question that Therese asked, does that speak to Fred Williams, you know, not making the 53 as well?
Well, you know what? It's the finite line comes down to a lot of things. And not only is it your play on the field at your position, but it does come down to special teams as well. I love Fred. I love the energy he brings. I think we're lucky to have him on the practice squad. He knows the offense. You know, that's a great practice squad player.
John, is Donald Stevenson more comfortable or more natural at left tackle than he is at right tackle?
And you know what? Athletically, he can play both of them, and it'll be, you know, what I'd like to see here is, you know, can he play left? Can he play right? He can play both. That's the good thing is he's got the ability to play both sides.
Who was your biggest surprise this year in camp? He came in maybe undrafted, like a March or a Pugsley or?
True, I would say it would probably be Justin March. Yeah. I mean, I love the kid. He's tenacious.
Without being heard, he was going to make this team.
Well, you never say never because we really had never gotten to the final two preseason games, but he demonstrated everything that you wanted to see. His ability to play special teams, he picked up the defense very quickly. He's innately tough. He's smart. So, you know, that's the guy who I was cheering for.
John, Catapano's not around anymore. Cush is not around anymore. Your first draft from your time here is dwindling here. You kind of disappointed one of these late-round guys. You still got some of those guys, obviously, still here. You disappointed at least one of those? You didn't hit on at least one of those late-round guys?
Well, any personnel guy will say he gets disappointed. But you have to also look at it on the positive note and say if you get three starters from a class, you know, that's a good thing as well, too. So, you know, every year is fluid, but you try to do is take small baby steps to get to the ultimate level.
Marcus Peters is a guy who consistently made plays like in front of him. That's football instincts, though, right? I mean, I'll let you respond upon a little bit about what you guys saw when it came to his football instincts and his knowledge of the game and how that's kind of shown in the preseason.
Well, I think he's got a natural feel for the position, meaning with his eyes, he plays the game with his eyes. The good ones play with the eyes. From the corner position, he can actually read and mirror routes of the receiver, and I think that's a good thing. And then he has the fluid athletic hips to turn, run, and change directions, and then he can run support. I mean, he's a square tackle. He's got good ball skills.
You can try to teach a guy to understand how to read those keys, but at the end of the day, sometimes some guys just have a feel for it and some guys don't, right?
No, that's a very natural trait. The ability to play with instincts and feel is a very natural trait.
I got to ask you about Ramique Wilson, too. Led the team in tackles this preseason. How did what you saw in the pre-draft process kind of play out in the field during this preseason?
Well, I think he is everything that we thought he would be. We thought he could run to the football. We thought he did play the passing game as we thought he would play the passing game. He's got linebackers have to open up their eyes, and he opens up his eyes and playing the position and sees a lot of things.
I think you narrowed it down to 53. Where do you say the strength of this roster is?
In the 53? I think collectively it's going to take 53 guys to get this goal accomplished.
character in the guys. We talk about it often. A guy like Ja Reed, do you have to go back to your original reports on him without there being as much time?
Well, I think you do a combination of things, and that's kind of what we did.
Andy said Friday, really impressed the way that the Grenade Tardif had improved. What have you seen from him throughout the fall?
I've seen the same thing that Andy saw in terms of a development and improvement. I think Laurent Duvernay-Tardif has a very high ceiling. I think he's got very heavy hands. I think he's got great athleticism. The more he sees, the slower it becomes. Right now, he'll be fine.
Obviously, you guys like him because you drafted him, but did this happen? Andy kind of expressed surprise how quickly it happened with him.
Well, it's the thing we talk about the coaches and the development of the coaches and how coaches go about their approach of teaching these guys. And those offensive line coaches did a nice job and so far in the development of Laurent.
How were you able to get a 5 out of Schneider?
Well, it takes two people. It takes two people to get a deal done. You know, again, it's a process that we have. We fielded many phone calls. And at the end of the day, it was a win for both situations.
You were able to, a guy you were probably going to cut last year, Rishon Johnson, you were able to get a useful special teams player for 1 year and then a draft pick. Is that kind of how you'd like to do things from here on out? Maybe instead of discarding guys, get something for them?
Well, I mean, that's if you can improve your roster to the point of people are calling you up and wanting to orchestrate a trade with you, that's the objective of every personnel guy. That's what you want to do. That's when you want to get great depth. That's kind of what you're looking for year in and year out.
Is that the case with John? He called you on this one?
Well, John and I talk a lot about a lot of different things.
Yes,
you can.
Now we've been missing time, and Ramique Wilson got a lot more time on the field. What have you seen from him? Are you surprised at how quickly he was able to step in and make an impact?
Well, no, because it speaks volumes. The guy likes football. I think Gary's done a nice job of getting him enamored, you know, into the playbook and learning the playbook. Then it comes down to the person itself. And then, you know what? He's fit in just fine. He goes about his job. He works. He loves football, and that's all you can ask for.
Last three, Rumo. 1, 2, 3. Go ahead.
I understand this is going to be, you know, kind of a coaching decision as far as whether this guy, where he plays going forward. But I know you watched Zach Fulton on Thursday. What did you think about him at center and how his skill set kind of fits there?
I think Zach did a nice job. I mean, anytime you can show your versatility, it begins to increase your value. You know, he's shown that he can line up and start in the National Football League at right guard. Now he's shown his versatility, and he's really never done that before. And then Andy and Eugene have done a nice job of getting him reps there to develop that. I thought he held up very well. He played very heavy, and guys didn't move him.
Is it safe to say that was a, reason you guys felt okay moving off from Cush? That he didn't have any bad snaps, kind of showed some pop on the doubles, that kind of thing?
Yeah, versatility always helps.
John, when you look at the roster you inherited in year one to where you're at now, other than depth and competition, what's the biggest thing you think you created?
I wouldn't say I'd say it's a we. I think the concept of everybody, we're all in this thing together, and that's kind of where we are with this thing. You know, again, I've always told you, I don't look in the past, just operate in the present. So, I don't know, we're all in this thing together. It takes a lot of people to get this thing done, and that's where we are.
Last one, Bob.
You don't have an undrafted rookie free agent in this 53 right now, which is the first time around here for years, but also the first time for you. What does that tell us about your roster?
Well, I personally like to see if we can always, you know, you always want to hit one or two guys on the undrafted guys. It tells you that this roster has pretty good depth. There's a great competition here, and there's a great camaraderie amongst this group. And, you know, moving forward, you know, there's a couple guys on practice squad, and hopefully they'll develop as time goes on.